rediscover for yourself, not just something you can quote flippantly, but I mean the heart-to-heart connection with the Father who honestly looks for your welfare. Our life as disciples of Jesus, our life as followers of the Lord is hinged upon us encountering him. It's not peripheral, it's not an addition to, it is life. His voice brings us life. We live because he talks. This word is the living word of God. He speaks in it and through it, and he enhances and adds strength and life to us to carry out his purposes. But this story, this great grand promise that God gives, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, the thoughts I have for you, they're thoughts of your welfare, not your calamity. To give you a future, to give you a hope. That pristine promise came at the most unexpected and awkward time. And it's the mercy of the Lord that regardless of whatever hellhole you think you're in right now, whatever the situation might be, if you'll calm your heart just a bit, turn to the Word of God, God will speak to you and bring a promise that is so opposite to your surroundings that it will shock you, it will stun you. Imagine being carried away captive, not willingly, unwillingly, bound, taken to another nation. You are now subservient to this ruling class of people. You are prisoners there. And the Lord comes to you, and all you can see is the restrictions, the restraints, the problems. All you remember is what you left behind, what you lost, how it could have been, the promises you had over your life, and they didn't come to pass. You got all this stuff swirling around you, and the Lord steps into the middle of that absolute chaos, and he says, I want you to know what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking really good thoughts about you, and it's about your welfare. It's actually about your prosperity. I've got a lot of plans. I daydream about you, and I think about these moments that are so difficult for you, but if you'll take just a moment, you'll rediscover the promise of the Lord. And I remind you of that psalm that is so important to all of us, the 23rd psalm. He says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Think through that. I prepare a table. What's the table? The table is a place of exchange. The table is a place of fellowship. The table is a place to eat. It's a place of nourishment and strengthening. So the Lord says, I prepare this place of personal strength and personal encounter in the midst of your enemies. And oftentimes we're overly mindful of what's not right, and we've lost sight of the very fact that the Lord put a table right in the middle of the most unexpected place. And we find it again in Jeremiah 29. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They're thoughts of your blessing, of your prosperity. I'm going to bring you into wholeness. I'm going to bring you into why you're on the planet in the first place. You'll not miss a thing. I'm bringing you back. And then he says, be careful. Don't listen to those who announce to you that that God is not in this. He has arranged this. And I don't care. He's not the God of calamity. He's not the God who creates viruses and all this junk that's going on. But I tell you what, he is still God in the midst of it. And what's important for us is to not fight. It's going to sound awkward. Don't fight the restraints, the restrictions. Number one, we're in a situation we can't get out of. You pick whatever one you want. I feel like I'm holding up a deck of cards. Just pick a card, any card. We've got enough things going on right now. Just pick one. I don't care what your favorite or your least favorite is. Just pick one. We're not in a position to change it. What are we in a position to do? We are in a position in the middle of whatever crisis you may be facing to find the word of the Lord. You're responsible for it. I've told you before in these, what, I don't know how many hundreds of years it's been since we've met together. But I've mentioned before, if you have more input from social media, from mainstream media, than you do the Word of God, then your discouragement is self-inflicted. You're responsible. You cannot have a garden and have a key to the gate and invite the enemy to come in and plant weeds and then moan to God about it. You've got to repent for the fact you've entertained things that are in conflict with the will and purposes of God. We've got to take ownership of this, the gate, if you will, to our own hearts, the gate, if you will, to our own assignment here in life as we guard well what God has said. So number one, stop fighting the restriction. Learn how to flourish in it. Amen, Bill. I think you're onto something. Number one, stop trying to fight where God put you. Number two, be restored to the promise of the Lord. Rediscover for yourself, not just something you can quote flippantly, but I mean the heart-to-heart connection with the Father who honestly looks for your welfare. He fights for your welfare. He contends for your blessing, not your calamity. Be restored to that face-to-face, that mouth-to-mouth connection with the Father who says, this is how my heart burns for you. My imagination runs wild of the things that I want to do for you. Get back to that one, the Father. And then the last one is set your heart to seek the face of the Lord. These are all things that are normal parts of the Christian life. But I feel like in this moment, it would be critical for us to review and to renew. It's kind of like when the Lord spoke in Revelation to the church at Ephesus. He corrected them, he rebuked them because they had lost their first love. But what was his prescription that he wrote out for them? He says, do the deeds you did at first. Be restored to what you used to do. Yeah. And I'm coming to you right now, not with the first love message, but with just the overall message. Right now, stop trying to fight a setting or a situation that you're in where God has placed you. And you have to discern that one. But where God has placed you. Stop trying to fight it. Number two, instead of focusing on what isn't going right, that enemy that surrounds you, because we all know from experience, he torments us by attacking us in our thought realm. Instead of being that where we anchor our souls in our thought life, this is where we deliberately return to the promise of the Lord, the table of the Lord, and have the face-to-face fellowship with the King of Kings, our Father. And we get restored to that place of confidence. God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the answer. There's so many things I wish I would have done differently. And I tell you, I'm speaking out of experience. So many things I wish I would have done differently. But I'm here. And I'm still in your mind. I'm still in your heart. And your intentions for me have never changed. They're nothing but the best. Even when I feel so unqualified, so undeserving for your best. And yet you've set it aside for me. So Father, I sit and I return to that table where I refuse to be distracted by the circumstances of my life. And I choose to be occupied with the face of the one who brought me to the table. Stop fighting the restriction. Rediscover the table and set your heart to seek the face of the Lord. Because he's given us a promise. I will be found by you. I will be found by you. It is impossible to hunger after the Lord and not discover him. It is the covenantal promise of the one who is more perfect than the rising of the sun tomorrow morning. It is more dependable than the rising of the sun in the morning. He is that kind of a Father.